Good morning. I want to invite anybody who is interested. We have our small group that will be meeting here at the building at 5 p.m. We get together and just spend time talking through the sermon a little bit, and I love to hear your insights and thoughts. So please join us come 5 p.m. tonight, and we'd love to have you here. Mandy heard a story this week, which was pretty funny. She heard that there's a thing called this Veterinarian's Awards. And with these vet awards, they come up with the craziest things that they've had to do, like the craziest surgeries they've done on pets. And this year, the number three, like most ridiculous one, I can't believe this is number three. It makes me want to figure out what number one and two was. The number three was this vet who had to do surgery on a Great Dane who was acting kind of sluggish and not really himself. And the Great Dane, as the surgery when it happened, was found to have 42 socks in his stomach. Isn't that unbelievable? And where's the sock going? Who's eating it? The Great Dane or the washing machine? It's crazy, isn't it? How is that number three? Right? It's going to make you want to, but be careful with the images that might come up. If you look like vet awards, just be careful about the images probably, because that would be a little bit scary. And most dogs, they may look like they feel a little bit of remorse when they do something bad that happens, right? But in the end, they don't really feel that remorse. But I imagine if this was a human instead of a dog, on sock number 38 or so, it's kind of like, you know, last time I did this, it wasn't very good. I'm going to do it one more time. And then that feeling of remorse and shame that you would have after going through all those socks, you know, and finally number 42, you're like, I need to go to rehab. You know, I need to clean this up. I need to stop my act. Really, when it comes to our lives, I mean, we can kind of look at a dog and think that's crazy, but we're not all that different. We can keep returning to the same things over and over again, some of the same sins that we've had in our lives forever, and how do you ever move past it? And I wanted to do this series after we looked at the book of Proverbs, because Proverbs has very practical things for us to think about in our lives. I hope that you were struck by some of the practical ways that God would maybe want you to rethink things. And so we're calling this series just simply change, because it's a great question, isn't it? How do we change? And again, you may not be like the dog who eats socks, but I know that for me there are things that I just keep returning to, things that I struggle with. Paul really says this well in Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 18, which is kind of a tongue twister. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. And it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. This is Paul, who is arguably even one of the greatest leaders of our faith, next to Jesus, you know, someone who did so much to spread the gospel. And I don't know about you, but there he sounds a lot like me. He sounds a lot like us with some of the patterns that we're in. And he's just saying, I try my best. I set out, and we get that opportunity every week. We come together and have communion. We remember the sacrifice that Jesus has made. We're covered in grace. And then we step out again, and I don't know about you, but I can relate with that a lot. I want to do what God's called me to do. I want to be who God's called me to be, but this pattern, I just can't seem to get out of it. And what is that for you? What is maybe that one thing or couple things that you'd like to change? Go ahead and just tell the person next to you. I'm kidding. No. That deep, dark thing, yeah, just tell, yeah, even if you don't know him, just, it's great, it's good icebreaker. I know I can relate to that passage so well. What are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to change? And I think sometimes the church does a disservice for us, because we say what's true, that we're all sinners, and we're all just receiving the glory of God. We all are never going to get it fully right. But one central idea of this series is that, yeah, you're always going to be sinners, but It's God's hope for you that 10 years down the line, you're not going to be struggling with the same sin that you are right now. 10 years down the line, that one sin that really bugged you, that one pattern that you couldn't get out of, that's something that you have now moved beyond. Now you're struggling with something different probably, but you're beyond what has happened. I think sometimes the church does a disservice because we just say that we're all sinners and we don't think about what forgiveness can really look like. And we don't think about the fact that we have the opportunity to change. That there's good news that those patterns don't have to be the way that you are forever. And life has enough unavoidable pain on its own, right? I mean, things that are outside of our control, disease and difficulty and all that stuff, why would we keep adding more pain in the same ruts over and over and over again? I think this passage has three important things for us to consider as we think about this. And we're just kind of starting the series today, giving a bit of an overview, and then we'll get in a little bit deeper through some real methods how we can change, how we can move on and move past certain sins. But today we're just going to kind of look at some assumptions. The first one is that experience makes us wiser. We think that just experiencing things make us wiser, and that's not actually true. Experience makes you older, makes you more tired, makes you more angry. But experience alone doesn't really make you wiser. I mean, Paul's saying, I keep experiencing this same thing over and over and over and over and over again. I have the same experience. It's like the same thing happens to me, and I respond the exact same way that I don't want to. I end up eating the sock all over again. I have this experience, and I want to change, but I haven't really learned how to get past this. What am I supposed to do? So experience doesn't make us wiser on its own. There are probably people in your life who you probably wouldn't admit it, but you easily can look down on because they kind of keep falling into the same pattern, the same trap happens, and you can see it from the outside, and you can kind of think to yourself, he's never going to get past that, right? Or she's never going to change. She's doing the same thing all over again. She's always so bitter. He's always in the same problems. He keeps getting into it again and again. Do you ever think someone could say the same thing about you? And maybe your sin or pattern isn't as obvious as anyone else's, but if you somehow got cast on a reality TV show and a camera was following you around all the time and someone actually watched that footage, but there would be a few things you wouldn't want to show for sure. But there'd be some things that some outsider would probably say, I can't believe that you would do that again. Why would you keep doing that? So experience, Paul is saying, experience on its own isn't really going to help. I keep doing the same thing. It's the same trap keeps coming, and I keep falling for it again and again. What does make a difference is evaluating your experience to understand what happened and how maybe you could do better in the future. But we'll talk about that more in the next couple weeks. Another myth that we believe is, since I know better, I'll do better. And Paul, again, is kind of echoing right there. I know what I want to do. I have in my mind what I would like to do. There's something that I would really want to do. But this thing, even though I know that it's not right, I keep falling for it. And we all know this is true. If you've ever tried dieting, you know this is true. I mean, we have the best nutrition information probably in history in the United States. We still don't do better. How many times have you made the promise, like, this is the year I'm not going to gain 10 pounds during the holidays? And then January 1st, you're like, all right, here we go again. You know, how many times have we done that? We think that if we just know better, then we'll do better. But Paul says, I know what I want to do, and I can't do it. I have this goal in mind. I set out. I receive God's grace and forgiveness, and I know that I'm forgiven, and I just can't seem to do better. One thing that I think helps illustrate this is marriage in America, and the statistics are kind of interesting. I know that many people my age sometimes will say, like, it's not even worth getting married. Everyone, just it's not even worth it. Just don't even take that step. because there's a stat that goes around that half of marriages end in divorce. And so it's, what's the point? Why would you even do that? But the statistics are actually a little bit more generous than that. Here's the first stat. The first-time divorce rate, so first-time married couples, is as low as 38% according to some statistics. And some actually report that it might be even lower than that. We have kind of this idea that it's just, oh, it's just all ends in divorce. Don't even try it, because what's the point? But really, the first time is lower than that. What actually drives the number up? Second and third marriages. Because the divorce rate in America for a second marriage is 60%, and for third, it's 73%. That's pretty unique and crazy, isn't it? This kind of proves this point more than anything. Don't you think by the third marriage, they would have figured some stuff out? Don't you think by the third marriage, it's like, you know, I should put the toilet seat down. You know, I've had this happen before. This script continues to play out. Wouldn't you think, I mean, by the third marriage, wouldn't you be a pretty ideal spouse? I mean, you would think, right? But the problem is you keep showing up in every marriage. That's the thing. I mean, we always think the grass is always greener on the other side, but then you get to the other side and it's not, because you're part of the problem too, right? I mean, really, wouldn't you think by the second or the third time, but it's just crazy, isn't it? The same things keep happening. The same kind of patterns show up. That's 3 out of 4 third marriages, and it's just, how do they even have time to go through that, right? It's just absolutely crazy. Knowing better doesn't mean you'll have the strength, the power, or the self-control to do better the next time. That's what Paul is saying in that passage. I know what I want to do. Trust me, I know exactly what I want to do, but I just can't seem to do it. And they say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. It's kind of what Paul's saying. I'm going insane here. I'm doing the same thing. And if I'm not making a plan, if I don't think, okay, this is what happened last time, and this is how I'm going to actually do better the next time, if you don't make some sort of a plan, it's just this cycle that never seems to go anywhere. And a third thing that I think is a myth that can mess with this a little bit is we think that time is against us. That we just need to rush back in and try one more time. And, you know, I messed up this time, but I'm just going to rush. I don't have time to come up with a plan. I'm just going to will myself to do better this time. I'm just going to will myself, and I'm not even going to worry about making a plan or putting something together. I'm just going to make this better. And you start to see other situations. You think, well, it seems like all my friends have conquered this sin, or everyone else is married, so I need that. Time is against me. We think the clock is ticking, and we just had this bad experience, and we're just ready to jump in, whatever that is for you. We think that time is our enemy. We feel like the hourglass is just slipping away. One of the best things for us when it comes to healing is time, isn't it? To think about the situation that you've just had, and we can just feel that pressure raining in on us. I know I felt that when I was a little bit younger. I was wanting to do youth ministry, and I kept not getting a job. I kept trying and interviewing. I know, it's surprising. No, I'm kidding. I kept trying, and I couldn't get a job. And one of the reasons why, I think, is because I wasn't married. I was 25, 26 years old at this time, and I would go in for an interview, and one of the questions I'd always get asked is, well, are you going to try to date one of our girls in the youth group? And I'm just like, no, guys. I guess I was a little creepy, so they thought that would happen naturally. But I would always get asked that question, and I remember just kind of being frustrated because it was kind of a dead end, and I just was thinking, God, I want to try to serve you. I want to do this, but this seems to be a real stumbling block, so if you wouldn't mind just showing me a wife, like, I'm good, just go ahead, like, that's, I'm good to go. And I remember feeling like time is against me. I need to get a job. I need to go right. I need to do this right now. And I just have to make this happen. And I felt that pressure and that anxiety. And one time I was showering at a friend's house, and it wasn't my house. And they had Herbal Essences shampoo. And on the Herbal Essences shampoo, it said on the side that the average age for a man to get married in the United States was 33, and the average age for a woman was 31. And I still had 7 years of time to get to that point. And I had this thought to myself, I'm like, I'm okay. Like, as I'm reading the Herbal Essences bottle in somebody's shower. And you can think that, right? You can feel this pressure and that I'm not okay, that I need to just fix this. And time can be such a great friend. Time can be our ally. And I think what Paul is telling us in this passage is, if you think about it, kind of like a radio frequency. Our radio frequency is to sin, to fall into this same pattern. And you think we're going to rush out of here and I'll do better this week. But we have this radio frequency that's set to sin. And to change that is hard. To change that takes time. It takes dedication. And you read about those in Scripture who experience this themselves, and there are so many Bible stories that give us great examples of a new start. But those weren't on really fast schedules. And Moses, he kills someone and has to go running. How long is he a shepherd outside? 40 years. We can't wait 40 minutes or 40 days. We think something's wrong with us if we can't get this figured out. Everyone else seems to be fine. Everyone else seems to be happy. But if I don't get this figured out, time is against me. But think about 40 years. For many of us, that's half our lives. Half our lives. Moses was waiting and not sure what was going to happen. And Moses probably thought his career with God was over. When God says, no, you're still on the team. But then there's Paul, who obviously has this radical transformation. And we often think of Paul, and he's this great leader who's always just running around doing everything that he can for the gospel. But there's one almost like throwaway passage that's interesting. In Galatians 2:1, it says, this is after Paul's transformation. It says, then after 14 years, I went up to Jerusalem, Galatians 2:1, this time with Barnabas. This is so interesting. I mean, it's just this kind of throwaway verse, but it says that for 14 years, Paul spent time kind of learning the gospel, knowing the gospel. And in the book of Acts, it spends only 16 verses on these 14 years. And then it spends the next 16 chapters detailing the next 10 years or so of Paul's ministry. So we think about Paul, and it's true, he's on fire for God, he's passionate, but this 14-year period, how important was this? How important was it for him to understand the depth of God's forgiveness, to really deeply get how forgiven he was, and that was so important to his ministry going forward. For 14 years, and again, we don't want to wait 14 days. But time can heal us. Time can help us because it's hard. It's changing that radio frequency. Paul says, I know what I want to do, but I just can't seem to do it. He sounds a lot like you or me. I know what I want to do, but I just can't seem to get it together. Paul is telling us this isn't going to come naturally. It's going to be difficult for you to get past some of this stuff, the things that stand in your way. It's going to be hard for you to change. But the good news is, it's possible. And what's so great about both Moses and Paul, when you think about their life and their ministry, is after they come back from that time of healing, they come back with a deep sense of God's purpose for them. But also they come back with a deep sense of humility. Because both Paul and Moses know that they didn't have it all together. That they didn't come through in every moment. They both know that they screwed some things up, that there was a point in their life when they needed to change. Because of it, their ministries are so fueled by a deep sense of God's purpose for them, but also a deep humility. What's great about this passage in Romans is after this chapter, when Paul spends this time talking about, I can't seem to get out of my own way. I keep messing it up. There's this great passage that's all about the life in the Spirit. It's detailing what it looks like to live life truly in the Spirit. And it ends with a passage you might be familiar with. It. In your Bibles, it's probably labeled More Than Conquerors. Because yes, when we allow our sinful nature, when we allow that to be the radio frequency that we have, it's hard for us to get out of our own way. But when we instead turn our lives over to God, it's amazing what God can do through us. And right in the middle of that chapter, after Paul's been talking about this sin that he just can't seem to get past, this pattern that he just can't seem to let go of, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose." We know that in all things, and I can't help but think of Paul thinking about his own life and what God has worked through in his life. He says, you know, I didn't think I could start over. How do you go from like Christian killer to super Christian? How do you make that translation? How do you show up at a church meeting then and not have everybody scared of you? How do you do that? Paul says, all of those things God can work out. You might have something in your life that there's a lot of shame attached to, and you think, but that can't really get better. But Paul's message for us is that God wants to use it all. That God can redeem it all. It's going to be difficult. We're going to kind of flesh out how to do it in this series, because as I said, we often talk in church about how we're all sinners, and that's so true, but there's also hope. There's hope that we can change. There's hope about God's future for you. It takes really being committed. It takes a plan. It takes understanding that there may be a season of time where you have to work it out. But the good news is God isn't done with you yet, and God can use anything that you bring to him for his glory and for his purpose. And praise God for that. And Paul sounds a lot like one of us, right? He's talking about this in Romans chapter 7. But then right after in Romans chapter 8, when he is talking about what he's learned about God's glory, he says, but God can use it all. God can use it all. And Moses takes 40 years off, maybe doing something he necessarily wouldn't want to do, before God says, you're the one I want to use. And Paul takes these 14 years learning more and more about the gospel before he's propelled out like a catapult all around the world to teach about God's glory and forgiveness. So this week, I want you to maybe think about that one thing or that pattern, that thing that you would like to change. And over the course of this series, we'll be talking about exactly how I think you could do that. This week, I'd also like you to read several times, maybe three or four times, Romans chapter 8, when Paul presents the other side of this, that God can do a great work in us, that we can be more than conquerors. If you would like prayers as you think about what you would like to change, I'll be down front, and one of our elders will be here too. But I hope that all of you take this call seriously, to think about the ways that you can change, the ways that you, like Moses or Paul, can be propelled out into the world. Because the good news is God wants to use it all. Let's stand and worship together.